This morning, we're going to be preaching to each other. I've asked several people to help me with that, and in just a few moments, I'm going to have them come up here and share. But I want you to be thinking in your own mind, if you might have some things to share, too. I grew up in a tradition that did not celebrate Christmas as Jesus' birthday. My hunch is many of you did. In fact, when I moved here, you would never see what you're looking at right now. In fact, I remember vividly, back in the old lobby, the very first time a Christmas tree was put up in there, I happened to be coming around the corner, I won't name names, but someone else was coming around the other corner and saw the tree and went, oh my goodness, what will they do next? We, I believe, have grown a lot as a church since then. The gift that was given to us, whenever it was, probably March, has been something that's life-changing for all of us and can be life-changing for all of us. So we celebrate this morning the birth of Christ. Without the birth of Christ, we wouldn't have the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, or the return of Christ. So I'm excited to share some of what's going to happen this morning. Those of you who I've asked to help me, if you guys will come on up front, you guys just have a seat up here. The assignment was, or the request was, I should say, was to share a paragraph about the gift of Jesus, what it means to you, and especially at this time of year here around Christmas time. And so several have agreed to do that. Several said, there's not a way in the world I'm getting in front of a microphone. And so Steve Stack and David Grady will read for those folks too. A couple of them have requested anonymity. And that's fine, but you're going to get to hear from several of our people this morning. So, Brittany, you want to go first? You're on the end.
Hope when I feel that I myself am hopeless and not redeemable. Over and over again when I felt a lack of faith and devotion to God, I saw and felt his unconditional love all the more in my life. When my body has failed me, when people fail me, when I'm overcome with anxiety or grief, when there is no silver lining to be found, he has been there. He has overwhelmed me with his grace and mercy. Even though I am a sinner, he has filled my life with unimaginable gifts that I can never earn or deserve or even know to ask for. Whether it be exactly enough money in the bank account to get through hard times or to be filled with an unexplainable peace through a storm like cancer, he has already proclaimed victory in my life over every circumstance. The same author who wrote this incredible Christmas story is writing my own story. I thank Jesus for the gift of hope.
Good morning. I've got three to read, and for the first one, we give thanks to Milbury Kaufman. Christmas in my Nashville family was filled with many memories. Going to the Parthenon and seeing the nativity scene, Dad giving each child a large candy cane, Santa bringing dolls to my two sisters and me, and toy cap guns to my two brothers, as well as Mom's much-dreaded delicacy of candied orange and grapefruit rinds. And then Dad's equally dreaded spice round, a natural delicacy of a perfectly good round beef roast spiced with lard injected into it to make a checkered board effect. Buck, yeah. Mom always displayed our small nativity scene, but made sure that we understood that nobody really knows when Jesus was born. But through the years, we've made a lot of progress, with the emphasis being on the man, Jesus, and his walk on this earth, and the ultimate importance of his death and resurrection. Even if we had to put up with some craziness, like not being allowed to put a Christmas wreath on the church front door. I wouldn't take anything for my growth and becoming more in love with what our Savior did for each of us. Jesus truly is very first and most beautiful gift ever given. The second greatest gift given to me is being able to spend this Christmas with Roger. This would never have happened if it hadn't been for the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed Holy Spirit encouraging all of us to pray for this sweet man of God. Every day I'm reminded, what an honor it is to care for Roger. May each of you have a blessed Christmas, and may we all be able to reflect on the beauty of our relationship with God and each other during the rush of this wonderful holiday season. The next one is from Anonymous. There's a poem by Evelyn Underhill titled Eminence, and she writes as though she's bringing a message straight from God. Here are the closing words. I come in the little things, says the Lord. My starry wings I do forsake, love's highway of humility to take. Meekly I fit my stature to meet your need. In beggar's part, about your gates I shall not cease to plead. Until by such art I shall achieve my memorial plan, past the low lintel of the human heart. Over the years I've wished for the season of remembering the coming of Jesus to permeate the entire year, and various efforts have failed. However, success came as a result of incorporating this beautiful story into the simple things of remembering the Last Supper. We use the little things to remember. As I focus on the tiny bit of bread and the juice in my hands, I ask, what is this really that I'm holding? This juice speaks of the blood that the world needed so badly for cleansing. It had to have a vessel for its containment. Containment until the right time for its release. The vessel, what is that? That's the fleshly body formed in mystery. It was brought to readiness by an obedient young woman. The heart of our Lord, pulsating, beating, circulating the purest blood to ever be. Yes, he did come in the little things, that of a tiny human. Yes, his starry heavenly wings he did leave behind. And yes, he did take a humble posture among us. And yes, he did become like us to meet our need for cleansing. And yes, he stands pleading as a beggar to the entrance of our hearts. So the season of remembering the gift of Christ doesn't end. It truly is in the little things of remembering. And finally, Anonymous worked overtime this week, so this is also this is also from Anonymous. What I like to remember this time of year is the gift that I'm at peace with God, our Creator. I'm at peace with the God of the universe. And I know it didn't start that way because the roots of this season, they began when our souls exerted their own will and our souls chased something else other than God. And God was heartbroken. God wanted us back. He was loyal to us. He refused to abandon us. He didn't leave us here without hope. Instead, he sent his son to repair the break. And unfortunately, that's where the world stops. This season is about a birth announcement. Jesus never really gets out of the manger. But a lot of the time the world forgets why Jesus came. The primary reason of this season and the primary message of this season is one of joy and hope. But you can't separate that message from the tale and the story of Jesus sacrificing himself for the souls he loved. The thrill of hope we sing about, that was our Father giving up the one he loved the most so that a relationship that appeared dead to all of us could be pulled back within our grasp. This was God's plan of redemption for me. It was God's plan of redemption for us, and it was spent on us so we could have an eternal connection to our home. I believe there's a place in this season, and I believe there's a space in this season to not only celebrate the joy of Christ's coming, but also mourn the great cost of his blood. When we remember him, we can remember his gift of peace with our God. But we need to realize the greatness of that peace in light of the suffering that made it possible, in light of the love that found our souls worthy to give everything for its salvation. Amen.
Good morning. I have several. I'm reading Doug shared with you this morning, and some are ill and some are shy, but I'll do my best. First one's from O'Neill Arnold. The gift of Jesus is overwhelming. The birth star was a miracle, the virgin birth. It was supernatural. It's a moving star. Angels appeared to multiple people. The grandeur of God's power and plan began to show in a new way. His arrival in human form means so much. He reveals God reaching out to his creation. He reveals just how serious God is when he seeks our relationship. He reveals just how far he is willing to sacrifice for our loving relationship. Jesus in human form reveals what the human form is capable of. Not just the following of observances or rote actions, but true love for one another. He showed obedience unto death. He was self, being human flesh, yet he was selfless. He was the redemption from sin, and he paid the price that sin demands. Jesus is a gift that is overwhelming. Paul described the gift to the Corinthians as unspeakable in the King James Version and indescribable in the NIV. And I pray I never forget. This next one is from Brandon Collins. The gift of Jesus during the Christmas time period is like a rejuvenation to my mindset, heading into the next year. Life can be tough sometimes. Church, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Life can be tough sometimes, and everyone stumbles and can lose sight of what's really important. When Christmas time comes around, it's easy to gain back that focus as everyone around also seems to be doing the same. A time of year where everyone puts their best foot forward, helps out their fellow brothers and sisters. Should we be grateful all year round? Absolutely. But the season is so important on refueling the flames and providing momentum into the next year to be the best version of ourselves for everyone throughout your life, knowing that the Lord is always in your corner. All right, the next one is Maggie Williams. The gift of Jesus means more to me than any other gift I receive at Christmas time, because the gift God has given us is an eternal gift that will last forever. It can't be broken or replaced with anything better. It is a chance to be with God forever in his kingdom. The next one is from Emily Poppy, right there. I asked her if she wanted to come up. You want me? I'll handle it? Okay, I got it. All right. The gift of Jesus means to me that he has come to save us and that he will make wrong to right. And he is our Savior. Jesus makes me feel happy at Christmas because we get to spend time with family and pick out a new ornament for the Christmas tree. That's very good. Next and last is Russ Williams, who I think is ill. If you're in the audience, you owe me lunch or something. Actually, Russ Williams. When Doug asked me to write a short paragraph on what the gift of Jesus means to me, I couldn't help but think that Jesus gave us many gifts. The most important is that he gave us life so that we can be saved. But he also gave us a way of living that can free us from worry, not an easy thing to do, and taught us that we can make our lives valuable to the world around us to make the world a better place. When I get busy with work and to-do lists and activities of life, my focus turns away from Jesus and his gifts seem further away. They can almost become academic rather than real. I fully believe, without a doubt, that Jesus came to earth, was crucified and rose so I can be saved, but for me, sometimes it's easy to breeze through and take the gifts of Jesus for granted. But then other times, he has done what he has done becomes very apparent and in the forefront of my mind. The Christmas and Easter seasons make it easier to step away from daily routines and work obligations to remember him. Most of our clients take vacations around Christmas and New Year, so we get a little respite. The rest of the world is enjoying the holiday, and many people are thinking about the reason for Christmas. People who may profess Christianity but don't build their life around it think about Jesus' birth and the impact he made on the world around us at Christmas time. That makes it easier for me to remember. Our kids are grown, but now we have grandkids. Christmas has become special in new ways. Amelia is 5 and Solomon is 3. I've got pictures if you want to see. I don't have pictures of his grandkids. This is what's written here, so you have to see him. I've got pictures of my own grandkids, which, by the way, we found out this morning we're having a granddaughter. Another granddaughter. That's right. Now, let me get off of her on back. Let's see, I lost my place. They light the candles and talk about what each candle means. Oh, this is Advent candles. Hope, peace, love, joy. Then read scripture. Amelia says her memory verse, and they talk about this week's topic. And then read a book about Jesus. Last weekend, I got to read A Tale of Three Trees. If you ever get to read this book, I suggest you do so. It's a family book, and it gets very emotional. Be careful as you start to realize what these three trees become as they're cut down and craftsmen get involved. Your family who've already read the book will be wondering where in the book your voice will start to crack. So Amelia sat on my lap and I read through the book, and the rest of the family sat around the room watching, expecting to see when I would break. He's an engineer. I guess he never cried. Luckily, I've been warned and it's been very cautious, so I made it through pretty well. We had a prayer and finished out in the short service. Afterwards, we shared which of the three trees brings out the tears the most and where in the story we realized what the third tree becomes. I'll let you read the book and decide for yourselves as you think about that special time in our family. We find it's easy to remember and appreciate all the gifts Jesus has given us and the hope we have in him.
Best gift ever. So my husband and I became grandparents this year for the first time. Little DeMarco will be 10 months tomorrow. And as I was thinking about the best Christmas gift ever, Jesus and his birth and Mary holding that baby, just me holding DeMarco, as he's been growing, now he's kind of like trying to walk and he's doing this bear crawl on the floor. He's in the tree and in the ornaments. He's everywhere. And I was imagining Mary having baby Jesus have his first tooth come in, or him eating a meal and knowing that he would be the bread of life, thinking about him taking his first step and knowing that he would make the lame walk, thinking about all of the things that a mom hopes for their child, and I'm hoping these same things for my grandson, that he will be able to get his legs about him and walk, and that we will be able to share with him the faith of Jesus. My best gift for the season is the hope that Jesus gives me to know that everything is going to be okay. I will be able to share my faith, our faith, with our grandson. I will be able to watch him hopefully grow up and be able to proclaim the name of Christ. But just knowing that I have an expectation, knowing that Jesus came, that he was born, that he lived, that he died, that he rose, that he ascended, that he's coming back, that is my hope. And inside of that hope, it gives me this great expectation to know that everything is going to be okay. So even when it's dark, even when there's little family squabbles, even when it seems like things are not going to be okay, I look to him and choose to have hope because he came and he lived and he died and he rose and he ascended and he's coming back again. He is my hope.
Good morning, everyone. What a blessing it is for me to be here alive today. Because I didn't have to be here. Some things happened to me. And I want to talk to you about the gift that Jesus gave to me. For me in this present life, Jesus extended my life. At the ripe old age of 79, I was diagnosed with colorectal cancer in June 2023. At that time, I lived in Chicago, and I realized that I needed to move to Louisville to be close to family. While still in Chicago, I think the week of my diagnosis, I called Paulette Summers. And Paulette is one that you call all the time when you need to talk. I called Paulette, and she connected me to David Brady. David has been a great supporter to me, a great encourager to me, and always checking on me. And David, I appreciate you so much, so much. Through God's divine grace and providential care, it's strange how it happened. It led me to the same doctors that David Grady had. This wasn't talked about a plan. My nieces looked on the internet and tried to find the best colorectal doctor and surgeon in Louisville. And we came up with two doctors and happened to be David Grady's doctors. And I just say, God, that was God. The doctors painfully told me that I had stage 4 cancer. While taking chemotherapy, I was hospitalized on 2 occasions. The first one was for, and these were the side effects of chemotherapy. The first hospitalization, I had diarrhea for 2 weeks. I was in the hospital with diarrhea. I also had blisters in my mouth, throat, esophagus. I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink anything, and everything what was already in me was coming out. I was in a miserable state. But Jesus. I returned home for a while, maybe a couple of weeks, and I was out of breath all the time. All these are side effects of chemotherapy. I go back to the hospital, and I have clots in my lungs and in my legs. And I can remember on that occasion looking up one night and there was Paulette standing there looking straight at me. I know she was wishing me well, but I just wasn't in a mood to talk that night, Paulette. So I remember after I got back up on my feet that Gail Massey said, "We thought we were going to lose you." But for some reason, I didn't think I was going anywhere. I still trusted in God. I didn't know I was as ill as I really was. And thank God for Gail Massey. I received cards with prayers from her on a daily basis. She'd call and check on me. What's going on? In fact, I heard from her the other day. "I didn't see you Sunday." I said, "I was there. But I appreciate you so much, Gail, so very much." And all of this, I go to say, it's but Jesus, the gift of Jesus. He extended my life because I didn't have to be here today. I'm so thankful to Jesus for the gift of healing and keeping me alive. There's a song that I like, and I hear it sung all the time, that he is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, a light in the darkness. That's what you are. I am a living testimony of his goodness. The prayers, support, and love of this church have been overwhelming. You did everything you could do to help me during my illness. I am so grateful. You just don't. When I cry, just a cry of joy and love, because you have been so good to me. It was the Jesus in you that blessed me, and I certainly appreciate it. I want you to know that I am so thankful for everything you have done in this church. I love you, I appreciate you, and some of you will become my friends for life. May God bless you.
During Christmas, in the midst of a world that often feels chaotic and demanding, Christmas is a reminder of the peace, hope, and love that Jesus brought into the world. Jesus' birth is a living testament to God's unfailing love for humanity, including me. At this stage in my life, as I finish college, will be in the process of looking at a job and figuring things out for my future. I'm learning that Jesus' presence is my anchor. He is the steady hand that guides me when I feel uncertain and the comfort I turn to when life feels overwhelming.
Good morning. We all get injured. They hurt. Sometimes they form into an ugly scab, itching. Now, if you itch your scab, it can start bleeding a lot. Now, picture this. You stole something from someone. But from stealing, you now have an injury in your heart. If the injury is big enough, by stealing, it forms a scab. If you keep sinning, it will get worse and worse until it's too late. And then you ask for forgiveness. Although Jesus will forgive you, it will still hurt inside, forming a scar. But if you sin and regret it later and ask for forgiveness, Jesus will gladly forgive you and the scab will be healed. Now, what Christmas means to me is spending time with your family while celebrating that Jesus heals your sin.
I thank all of you guys for sharing what you did, and those who are in the audience who are traveling and couldn't be here for sharing this better than any sermon I could have given. So you guys can go back down now if you want to, and we're going to share in communion here in just a few moments. And I mentioned earlier, and I actually considered open mic, and then I got scared. So sorry about that for anybody who might want to share. But as you're gathering around our communion tables, and if you're a guest today, you're welcome to join in. We have six tables set up around the auditorium, or if you've got the little individual packets, that's fine too. I want to encourage you to spend some time as you're communing in a few moments in sharing with each other that gift that Jesus is to you. It's hard to put into words, and I'm so grateful that these people were so willing to do that and to share their hearts with you this morning. I think it's incredibly important that we hear from each other's hearts, not just the pros, you know. It's great that we've got good pros that can stand up here every week, but man, it's so good to see the faith stories that we share together, that we all have. So I hope that you have merriest of Christmases and that Jesus is at that center all the time, of course, but that you take a special joy in knowing that his gift into this world started our best gift ever.